fountains of living water are breaking forth. We welcome you to partake of this great blessing through the spoken word of God, through His servant. Be blessed.
So this morning I'll be sharing a very simple message. I have a title. So deeply, being deeply rooted and bearing abundant fruit. Being deeply rooted and bearing abundant fruit. And as I woke up this morning, God began to paint a picture in my heart that this, our journey, and it's something that, you know, we must always remind ourselves that it is a long journey. I know the picture that came to my heart is like a deep journey going to look for a solution. That was the picture the Lord was painting in my heart. You know, it's like, you know, like imagine a city where maybe there is an illness, a disease, and then that is killing everybody. And they say, there is one leaf somewhere in one city far away that you will cross oceans. Some of those oceans you will cross, there are, you know, crocodile care. And 10-eyed, you know, those epic films, you know, and all that, you know. That picture was saying that, you know, before you now get that particular leaf, even before you get the leaf from the custodians of those leaves, you know, of those virtues, that leaf can give you immortality, can cure all the disease and make, you know, some people now decide that, okay, let us go on that, embark on that journey. Of course, it's not all of them that embark on that journey that are going to come back. You know, those kind of things. So that was the kind of thing God was paying my dad. This journey, that this, our journey, is like a quest to laying hold on something. It's like, and that thing is the reason why Christ came. It's the reason why God laid hold on you. It's the reason why God sacrificed himself for you. So that, because that thing is available. All we need is to journey with him until we get to a place where we can do what? Lay hold on that thing. So it is a long quest. Say it is a long quest. And it is a long journey. I wrote it that we have a long way. The journey is actually long. And what we need, which is the greatest need of man, it is a quest. And it will take mercy to shorten the days and the time to lay hold on this thing. You know, it's at the end of the day, when we eventually lay hold on it, it will not be because we were strong, we were this. Eventually, what would make it what it would actually be God's mercy. Say God's mercy. I really need God's mercy in our lifetime. That in our lifetime, you know, the days of man is very short. That, you know, that in our lifetime, God would bless our lifetime with mercy and help us to lay hold on the reason why what they lay hold on us. You know, Paul was one that said, there was a reason why they lay hold on me. You know, that the reason why God lay hold on you, you'll be able to do what, you know, to fulfill it, to come into the fullness of those things. Amen. I just said I should start, you know, with that. I want us to, you know, like I've said, and for us to come into those things that God has for us, it depends on so many things. You know, it depends on so many things in our journey. There are different phases also in our journey. And there are different points, you know, that we would need to journey to. But, you know, like we've rightly said this year, one of the things that God is emphasizing is that the Lord wants it to be a season of establishment. Say establishment. I know when you begin to say, when God is beginning to tell you that it is a season, he wants a season of establishment, that means that there is a storm coming. Because establishment is to wither storms. When you are not established, storms, you know, can easily carry you away. You know, it's just like in the book of Revelation, we see that when God told those angels, those four winds, that they should hold on and not release, you know, those winds upon the earth until his people are what? Sealed. That sealing is what? A season of establishment. So I believe that when God gives... So, like those people, that was a particular phase. So, when God is talking about establishment, it is like sealing you against a coming tide. And so, it is something that we have to take very serious. You know that many times, you don't take spiritual things very serious, including me. You know, we just feel it's just okay. You know, everything will just be fine. Everything will just be fine. And, you know, it's like sounding an alarm and, you know, you're not responding appropriately. But I pray that in this season, the Lord would help us to respond appropriately. Amen. So one of the things, I mean, and you know, like Pastor said, one of the things about establishment is being fruitful. And it is not just only being fruitful, establishment is bearing fruit abundantly. You know, you can be bearing fruit, but maybe it's just pass. Maybe it's just sparsely in some areas. But when it comes to establishment, you know, I like the Yoruba one, Ogboro, you know. When you say something is an establishment, it cannot be moved. That is coming into abundance, if there's any English like that, abundant fruitfulness. You know that there is nothing that can move you away. And I believe that the Lord wants this, one of the things that the Lord wants to do to us in this season. He wants us to have roots that go downwards so that we can now bear fruits upwards. I know God's plan for us, you know, according to John 10:10, is for us to have life. And it's not just only for you to have life. Everything God is always targeting is what? Abundance. Say abundance. So it's not just about having life. He said, I have come that they may have life. And that they may have it what? More abundantly. So there are things that God has wrought in us, and we are grateful to God. And the truth of the matter is that you can't deny that there are things that God has actually done in us. There are works that the Lord has done in us. But the Lord is just saying that He wants to bring us into a season of having these things more abundantly. Say more abundantly. And that is an earmark of what? Establishment. So imagine somebody has a business. Now maybe you are a fashion designer, and then you are sewing. Maybe you are sewing. You are not beginning to sew for Sheyima Kinde's wife. You know, that's some form of establishment and fruitfulness. No, but you know, they're not yet established. You can't compare that level, or you know, it's still different from me when you're in your house and it's only bread and they are begging you, and then God now moves you away from that place of to the place whereby you now have maybe someone like that patronizing you and all that. But you know, that is some level of in the natural, some level can say, oh, prosperity and establishment and all that. To even introduce you to some of our colleagues, and then you have, you know, like, we are not showing, but know that that is not yet establishment. That thing might not, your third generation might not come into you. They might not meet that business. But no establishment, no clothing lines. Have you heard of some clothing lines that have spanned generation? Clothing designer wears. All those designer wears that we hear, eh? Levi, you know, all those Levi that make that introduce, they've been there for years. So those ones are what they are like established clothing line. So those is not same. It's not just like a bear foot, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. No, they want you to be established that you can, you know, you can, it can span. You can span time. So we should not be satisfied with just tertiary fruit, tertiary love work, tertiary all of those things. God wants to bring us into a place of abundance. Say abundance. Abundance. So the Lord wants to bring us to that place where we have life abundantly. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2 verse 6. And then we will see that it is God's desire that we should be established. So he said, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus. And I said, this receiving Christ Jesus means that you have been taught by him. You have learnt of him. He said, as therefore as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Say walk. So walk in him. Walk in the things that have been revealed to you. So now he's not saying that it's not just only enough to receive, to be taught, and to learn of him. It's not just only enough to walk in him. The next place is to be what? Rooted. Say rooted. So you could have received, you could have been taught, you could have received teachings, and you could be walking in some of those things, but there's still a phase of being, say, rooted. So after being rooted, when that rooted is coming into a season whereby you are coming into a place whereby you cannot come into fruitfulness. And the next thing is now what? Built up. So you see that before anything can come up, it has to first of all do what? Go down. You have to take what? Root what? Downwards. Then you now do what? Come what? Upwards. So it's like being rooted. And then what? Built up. It is the same technology. No rooting, no building up. So for some of us, they've not even started building. And we will see, we're still going to check some scriptures. You will see, it can take years before they even start this issue of receiving, walking, and then before the process of rooting now begins to take place. Then after that, and what? Establish. So all these things need to take place. You need to receive. You need to walk. You need to be root and built, and then you now come into what? Establishment. Say establishment. And established in the faith as you have been what? Taught. And it's not just only establishment. What does God want? He wants us to do what? Abound. Say abound. So we must have that kind of mindset. I want to abound in life. We want life abundantly. You know, we don't want the things of Jesus to be scarce in your life. But the things of, you become God's people. You know, as one person, you are a people. You are a people of God. That is, you have the things of God plenty within you that you can even impart unto others. That is when it will now become that you yourself, you have become a savior. You know that you cannot be a savior when you have things of God that are still sparse. You're just like, Peter said, what I have, I do what? I give. The only reason why they can give and it can be enough. Not like those people, those 10 virgins. What they have was not abundant. Because if they had more than enough, they would be able to share with others. I said, what if I share with you? It will not be enough for both of us. So there's a realm in which you are that you have more than enough. And you are abounding. Then you can be blessing to nations. Say blessings to nations. You can be a savior to the nations, you know. You have become God's people. A people. You yourself, you are a people of God. You have things of God abundant in you. Amen. Amen. So God wants us to go through downwards and actually do what? Fruit what? Upwards. Let's look at Psalm 80 from verse 8 to 10. You have brought out a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out. So we're going to see the process of fruitfulness. How do we come into fruitfulness? Said, you have brought out a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations. And after casting out the nations, you have planted it. Remember, this is a vine. It was taken from somewhere. Nations were cast out and planted. Then after that, it did not stop there. It said, you have prepared room for it and caused it to take what? Deep root. Now that planting is also a level of rooting. But now this verse 9 is another level. You have caused it to do what? Take deep root. And it did what? Filled the land. Verse 10. The hills were covered with what? Its shadow. And the mighty cedars with what? Its boughs. So it had a lot of influence. It grew. But remember that it came out as what? Just a vine that was taken out. And then, but God's intention is to make it a mighty tree that its boughs will cover both the hills and mighty cedars. So we're still going to stay on this scripture. And you see, the first thing was to bring it out. They had to call it out. That was a level of separation. You know, a level of sanctification, level of separation that first took place. And after taking it out, they had to take it through another level of separation again, of casting out the nations. Say, casting out the nations. I know when we talk about nations, nation talks about nature. It talks about people. It talks about who you are. Not. When Rebecca was pregnant, they said, you have two nations within you, in your womb, you know, and we're just two children, you know, Esau and Jacob. And they said, two nations are what? In your womb. Two peoples shall be separated for your body. So nations are people, they are nature, they are people. So he cast out the nations. These are natures that don't allow us to come into fruitfulness. Say natures. So there are natures that, see, there are some natures that can actually stop you from coming into fruitfulness. So when it comes to a season when God is saying, I want to establish you, one of the things the Lord begins to first of all deal with are natures. Say natures. You can't come into a season of establishment, of being rooted, without the Lord dealing with certain tendencies, certain natures, certain expressions that have defined you. Amen. They cast out the nations. These are like thorns that prevent people from bearing fruit. They are like thorns, you know, in the parable of the sower, after the seed was sown, said some, they were sown amidst the thorns. And the thorns did what? Choked them. You see, if they did not cast out those nations, that vine cannot be established. That vine cannot even be planted. As in planted, what I mean planted is that it cannot take root. It cannot come into a season of establishment. So there are times, I know, like that tongue said, there are things that God wants to clean. Say clean up. That God has to clean up so that we can come into a season of what? Establishment. And one of those things, like I said, give me that scripture in that seed of the sower. Tons, say tons and tissues. These are things that choke the word of God from bearing fruit. They choke the things that God is. Do you know everything? You know, like I said, God's desire is for us to come into a place of fruitfulness. But there are things that want to choke that thing from choke our seeds from coming into a season of fruitfulness. And it is said, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. See, they heard the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becomes, I prefer the Luke version of this. Can you give me the Luke version? You know, choke. So you see, choke. See, not people say, yeah, he choke. You know, this one is the real choke. You know, it just chokes the word, doesn't allow the word to thrive in you. I know there are things in us that actually limits the word from thriving. Now, the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are what? Choked with what? Cares. Riches. So it's not only cares, it's not only want. You know, cares are maybe things you want that you don't have. Even riches, say riches. Riches fit choko. That's why when you have prosperity without stature, it go choke you. And what? And what again? Pleasures of life. So it's not as if God doesn't even want us to have. You know, God, you know, like the scripture showed us money. God wants us to enjoy all things richly and abundantly. But you know, God doesn't want you to choke. And what? And see. And bring no what? Fruit to what? Maturity. The place of maturity is the place of abundance, of fruit, not just only fruit, fruitfulness. So there are things that can actually choke those things. Say cares. And so one of the things you must learn this, if you want to be fruitful, you prepare this year. I've been praying to God, this year I must bear fruit abundantly. If one of the things that would, you know, you should know your enemies. Say you know your enemies. Say know your words. Some of the things that will come and fight you are some of these things. Cares, say cares. Cares, 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 cares. And your father knows that you have need of those things. But seek ye. So there are things, cares. Cares can weigh you down. They weigh you down and not allow you to move forward. So one of the things you must, and you know how they deal with cares? Faith, say faith. Faith, the antidote to cares is faith. Faith, putting faith in God and seeking God and putting your eyes on God. Casting all your care upon him. For he does what? He cares. So say, which among you, by taking thoughts, can add what? One cubit, you know, to your height. Say cares. Cares, house rent, school fees. Husband, you know, all of these things are cares. They are things that can take your attention. You know, even me, I deputy all the single sister when don't marry. With all this plenty wedding that we have in Puri, you know, if it shocks some people, is it a lie? It shocks. Just say, ha ha, God, when shall it be my turn? See all of them, they are preparing for the Olashe, Saistashe. Sister Grace, what did you come by? When shall I? Under my name, my was best lady. When will they do my home? Say cares. Cares, as in when shall it be my turn? Everybody now has a boyfriend. Only me do not have. Yeah. At least everybody has their own brother. You know, they say we should, all our brothers, Abi. They are our sister, but we know. Abi, we don't know. Is it a lie? We know now. My home brother. God, where shall you? Yes, God, I have brothers. Well, where shall it be my home? You see, as little as those things are, it can choke. And then it raises concerns. And then it raises a lot of concerns. You know, maybe you, and that's why all those that are, please, I beg you, all those of you that want to marry, that you don't get your own, I beg, don't shock those that are still looking for their own. Be considerate. Say, be considerate.
Be considerate.
Be considerate. Be sincerely, it is part of it. You know, staring. He said we should not provoke one another unto what? Jealousy. What the scripture says? So we should not provoke one another, but we should stir up unto what? Good. Okay, they say we should change it to King James. Unto good works. See, the things you are doing, be doing the ring in a way that you will not provoke your sister or your brother. Your sister that the Lord is just helping to focus. You know, and maybe, and that's maybe that person in our own season is a season of waiting. And then for you have come to a season of, you know, to marry. And then you now front the tea so much that you now make the person to now begin to, you know, to, even though that person too is not supposed to be confused. But you know, part of helping your brother and sister is to help people to do what? To be focused. And let us consider one another to provoke what? Unto love and to what? To good works. Is it this one? Let us not be desirous of what? Vain glory. Provoking one another. And doing what? Envying one another. Verse 27. But what does God want? Verse 27. Okay, that's all. But okay. But we're supposed to do what? Stir up one another unto what? Good works. So in everything we are doing, we must also put this at the back of the mind. But I, very respective, even if your sister is choking you, you must refuse to be shocked. Say, I refuse to be shocked. Cares. So those things, say, cares. You know, riches, pleasure of life. Say pleasures of life. You know, when you're so, you know, in this season, you know, like Pastor said, when you are in Zion, one of the things that happens to you when you have learnt Christ is that you're not satisfied. Your heart will keep panting. You have not reached your Ebenezer. You have not reached your Ebenezer. You have not reached your place of, you know, of rest. You are still desiring. You know, you still want more. So, you know, there's something about pleasures of life at times. It can make your soul settle. Just, you know, just like that man. After he harvested, he brought in so many fruits into his barn. He said, what else? He said, now my soul can do what? Can rest. That's what I mean. When they just smile like this, they said, you don't finish. At least, Hatema see me. Some peace. Said, and what did God say? God said, tonight, your soul will be required of God. There is no, when a soul has lost pursuit, there is no point for you to be cumbering the ground. One of the things that makes God know that you are still relevant as far as life is concerned is that your heart is still panting after him. So even in the midst of abundance, when God gives you things, you know, God blesses you richly, you have everything, there must still be something, the dissatisfaction in your heart. Say a dissatisfaction. You just want more. Just so that this is not the end. Not some people say, Ajaye. If Ajaye do, have you heard people say things like that? Omo. This holiday, I enjoyed myself. It was just a break. Say a break. You know what they mean by that? A break. It's a break from what we're shushing. He said, and I will say to my soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have what? Provided. So when a soul comes into a place of, say, what to them that are at ease in what? In Zion. So when you are at ease, when you feel nothing is chasing you, you are not chasing anything, it is not a good sign. you cannot come into what? Fruitfulness. So, taunts and teasels, cares. So this is one of the things you must learn. And see, there will be so many pressure. There is already economic pressure. Things are very expensive. The salary is not matching up with the expenditure. Salary is not increased. Other things are increasing. So how does he want to match? Go gauge. Is he gauging? He's not gauging. So that alone, if you sit down on that and you start meditating, is enough to choke you. So that is why we must now learn to put our eyes on God and still seek God. You know, there will always be challenges. You know, there will always be things that will come up in our life that we need, you know, and those things will always come. But you know, in the midst of all those things, one of the training that we must learn is to put our eyes on God and still keep seeking Him despite all the things around us. That irrespective of our needs, irrespective of our cares, we can still find God faithful enough for Him, for us to seek Him. Not because of those things, but because of Him. You know, during this week, as I was praying, of course, I have things that I'm believing God for this year. And as I was praying, God just said, can you just, all these things that, I know you have things that you want me to do this year, but can it just be me and me alone? That can it just be me? And you know, there's a way you can be fasting. But when you're doing, say, or doing is my year of fruitfulness, and it's good. Said, yes. Said, I will do all of those things, but can you make it me and me alone? And just put your attention and your energy on me. So just make it me and me. And I understand. I know that when God says you should make it me and me alone, God has a way of taking care of all those other things. Amen. Amen. So say God wants it to be me, to be Him. Amen. God wants it to be Him and Him alone. May the Lord help us this year to really focus on Him. So worries, cares, you know, there are things that can, you know, that can choke your soul. And I'm also say this, don't take more than you can bite. Don't delve your hands. You know, some of us, we choke ourselves. It's not the enemy that is choking. It's not, Sincerely, my hand is not in this one. Don't choke yourself. Avoid things that you know that will choke you. You know, there are things you know that if I start indulging in these things, if I do this, if I take this step, it is going to choke me. It is going to bring me into unpleasant situations. Don't put yourself into those things. You know them, I can't be naming them, but you know those things. Don't take things, you know that the business you are doing, you are still struggling, you know, opportunities, don't be, all open doors are not open doors. You must be able to discern. There are some open doors that will choke you, and there are some open doors that are actually from God. Amen. That they are challenging, but they are from God. You must be able to discern those things. And not take things that will choke you, that are beyond what? Your capacity. That is not even, there is no grace. Let me put it that way. There is no grace for those things in that season of your life. Amen. So the next thing he said, let us prepare room. That's Psalm 80. So apart from casting out the nations, things that choke, then he said, let us prepare. You prepared room for it. What is preparing room? You know, last year I talked about the issue of the vine. When you have planted a vine, one of the things they also do is that when that vine starts fruiting, brings the first set of fruit. If you want it to come into more fruitfulness, they would dig around that vine. They would expose the roots because there are some dead roots that are already there. They will not allow other roots to take. They will dig around it. They will remove stones, clog of sand, so that the soil can be set loose, so that manure, when you now put manure, it can permeate. If you don't dig, that digging is what? Is breaking the the not fallow ground, breaking the clogged soil. You know, for water to permeate, water doesn't permeate clay sands or sands that are already clogged together. So they were to, so preparing room for it is breaking those ground, taking away the stones. You know, when you plant, there are stones. They will, so you see the farmers, they will remove some of those stones. They will break the ground. They will expose the roof, remove some of the dead roots. You know, those are preparing room. What are they doing? So that vine can come into more fruitfulness. So for some of us, they've even tried to remove some, cast out some nations, and they will bring us to this place of preparing room. Say preparing room. Preparing room. They will dig around it. They want to deepen it. They want to take away the stones. I call those stones hardness of heart. Say hardness of heart. You know, there are still things now that they are very hard that God finds it. You know, it's just like if the root is there, you want to put manure and you plant a farm and then there is stone there. If you like put the manure, if there is stone around a plant and then you put manure on it, that manure will never reach the root of that plant. You have to first of all remove all the stones. So there are things that does not allow the things that the word of God to permeate deep into the crevices of our soul. So one of the things I have to do is to remove the stone, the hardness, the stubbornness of heart. One of the things that limited the children of Israel from coming into their inheritance, you see it in Hebrews, was what? It said, because of the hardness of your heart. I like Yoruba version that says, that Toba wa onuki, mommy used to sing, eh? It's not gradually. Proverbs 29. Mommy used to, when we were young, when we want to be stubborn, that scripture, I knew it. See, that was always a scripture. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be what? Destroyed. And that without what? Remedy. So he said, they said I should not be there. I used to speak too much Yoruba. And it's a bambawi. As in when you had, you see, one of the things I used to face, you see, as I am, I'm not afraid of people that misbehave, or maybe they are prone to mistakes, or they keep doing. What I don't like is people that their hearts are hard. It's difficult for God to reach them. Man cannot reach them. God cannot reach them. So one of the things they want to take away this year is our hardened hearts. They want to tenderize our heart that the word of God can easily confront you. Those are people that will be preaching, that's hot preaching like this. Yet they will still do, if not, didn't you hear the message they preached? I didn't hear anything. What does that apply to me? They can't even hear because their heart is what? Hardened. I know that was one of the things that happened to the children of Israel. They were so hardened in heart that the Lord, they could not come into their inheritance. So one of the things God is going to do to us is to tenderize our hearts. They will take away the stones, the stony part of our hearts, and give us a heart of flesh. Heart of stone. You know what I call this hardness of heart? I call them deep-seated idols. You know, when you see someone that is stubborn, you know what makes people stubborn? Is deep-seated what? Idols. And you know what I say? Not just idols, oh, deep-seated idols, natures that are deep-seated. They are rigid positions. Say rigid positions. You know, that's why you go say, hey, me, I'm a dad, oh, that is just me. That is not, you know, those are rigid. When you keep saying, you should be repenting. Even when you say it and you go and say, ah, God, that is not me. That is not the me, you. Carved images. Images that have been, you know, some of them are even generational, that we inherited, nature, standards, mindsets. You know, like that tongue said, mindsets, standards, our thoughts, your opinion. Those are not, when you say, when you hear carved idols, you're not thinking, carved opinions. Images that are not, you know how they make images? They make images from light. You know, but these carved images that you have, they're not from the light of God's word. Can be from your family. That's been carved into your mind. Things that have been carved that are deeply. You know, some men, they are so carved into them. They see women as slaves. And you can be in the world of action and it will be like that. And it is just, it's just being carved. You can't, and that kind of man cannot serve a woman if she gets married. Because those things have been carved in their mindset. Standards, wrong standards that we have taken up. Deeply seated. So you see a sister, hey, brother is coming, different mother are coming, and the sister just saying no. God is not speaking. God is not speaking. Ah, Lord, don't let me speak Yoruba. He said I should not be speaking Yoruba again. That they cannot use the message, you know. But it's because the thing is paining me, you know. They will just say, this sister just say no. You know the reason why? Because that person already has a. It can be a family thing. Maybe in all their family, all the kind of men that their ladies marry. She has gone to all her cousins' wedding. Eh? And all the weddings are, you know, there's no one bear, there's no one bear. You know, there is one bear, they are doing decoration of 10 million naira. You know, it's different from the one where you call Stadiola to help you tie material. And you have gone to all these kind of weddings. You know your cousin, one of your cousin, your mommy's elder sister, her daughter is a lawyer. She married a banker. Your elder sister, she married a politician. Your younger sister self, she married one guy that is the CEO of one marketing company. They are always traveling. Hey. So when that, you know, all those things are there. So you already know the kind of men. We know the kind of men that we have in our, the kind of in-laws that we have. So when in our city girl church, all the brothers the Lord is bringing across your way, as they are, you know, you will not say it to pastor. Will you tell pastor? I'm talking about deep-seated idols. So as they are coming, as those brothers are coming, you are looking at Auntie Shalewa's husband. As another brother is coming, you're looking at Auntie Funke's husband, my cousin's husband. You're using them to judge it, and they said, no, God is not speaking. I'm not hearing anything. You cannot hear anything. Say deep-seated idols. Say carved images. These are things that only say, oh, you suffer, pastor. You will even tell your friend that you are sleeping on the same bed. There are things that is only you and you alone, you know. But those are things that, not that I'm talking about standards. Wow. Standards are not standards of God that we have heaped. Before God, it is nothing that God, you've heaped for yourself. And they just stand between you and God's will. And you cannot come into fruitfulness. No, it's just like Rachel. Rachel, you know the idol that Rachel sat on was not her own idol. Oh. It was the idol of her father's house that she inherited. And she sat on it. She was married to a man of destiny and still sat on an idol from her father's house for years. Say idols. That's one of the things you must believe God. Standards, wrong perspective, you know. So some of those, that's why, you see, all these and all of those things in our family, that's the way we do things. Show me in the Bible where it is. Even if it is there, is that what God is saying? Standards of living. Ah, no, I cannot go below this level. I cannot go higher than this. No, standards of life. Heaped out of, you know, darkness. And has no root in God. Say idols. Fantasies that you have built. You have in your own world. You know, I used to confront my daughter. My son, she just come say, mommy, we should, as a family, we should just go to like maybe like Belize, and we just, I will say, you know, it is storybook, and it will end in storybook. I said, there's a difference between storybook and real life. Is there anything wrong in going to Belize for holiday? No, it is not. But I'm confronting something because I know that those fantasies start building up from, you know, some of us, the reason you are married now, the reason why you are fighting your husband is because of fantasies that you have read. Breakfast in bed. How many of you did I promise breakfast in bread? is there anything wrong in doing breakfast in bed? There's nothing wrong in breakfast in bed, though. Me too, I like it. If pastor do breakfast in bed for me, I will not mind. But know that wedding is more than breakfast in bed. So some people fantasies, you know, the fantasies you've developed from a childhood, that you know. For some people, when it comes to your wedding, that's the reason why you cannot marry. Because you have imagined that Cinderella gown. That the tail of the gown is from that door to this place. Say fantasies. You know, it's just a place where warfare. You know the warfare that Jesus had. It was not as they are not physical, they were in the thoughts. Say thoughts. Things you think about just in your room, just daydream. Prince Charming, the guy is dark, tall, nice coat, black beard, a little bit of some golden white hair here. Irumu Tawaya, dear. Say fantasies. Hey, but the Lord, I'm serious. These are things that stop us. You don't know what God says. God said, the Lord looked at the imaginations of men's hearts and saw that they were continually what? Evil. So you must look at your fantasy. What are your you should fantasize about eternal life. How is it going to be like when we see our Father? How is it going to be like in the world to come? How will it be like when I can love my brethren without any hypocrisy? How will it be like? These are the things I want to fantasize on. How will it be like when people break my plate of inheritance and I don't get angry? Those are things I want to fantasize on, man. How will it be like when people offend me 70 times, 7 times and I don't react in anger? I get angry, you know, I get angry, but I sin. God, how will it be like? I get angry and I don't sin.
Oh, Shishi Barakatesia la Briga de Baba Barakatesia Mandadia Gabasia Nefeni Perakatesia. Oh, for I'm a good father. Oh, for I'm a good father. Even I'm a good father. Even I'm a caring father. Oh, I'm a compassionate father. Oh, I am, and I care about you. Even I care about you. Even I care about you, and that's why I will not allow you to be destroyed. That's why I will not allow you to go even on your own. Even that's why I will not allow you to continue even in that path. And that's why I'm bringing even mercy thoughts, even mercy. Even I'm coming, even with mercy. Even with mercy, even for to heal you, even for to heal you of that deformity, even for to heal you of that deformity, even that sickness that you have been carrying for years, even that sickness, even that.
that sickness that you have prayed about, even those deformities that you have garnished over the years. Oh, I've come with mercy. I've come with mercy. Even mercy drugs for to heal you. Even mercy injections. Injections to your heart. Injections to your mind. Injections to your judgments and standard. Even injections for to correct it. For to correct it. Even to bring down those high mountains, those lofty mountains, and even to raise those depressions. Oh, even to raise those depressions, even those places, those valleys that have been dug for years, I've come. So here. Do not excuse it away. For many have suffered because of ignorance and because of their hard-heartedness. Oh, they have suffered. It's not my desire even for to hold or to keep anyone. Oh, for it is my desire that even people prosper, even as their soul prosper. So I've come with the prosperity of your soul. I've come to heal your soul so you can prosper even in your natural. I've come to heal your soul. I've brought medicine for your soul. So I say, take it all. I say, even eat it. Yes, it's bitter, but take it. It's healing for your soul. I say, take it, because even I'm going to bring another season of stirring. So I say, be healed now so you can come into that season, for even I'm going to bring forth even my promises. But I say, be healed, so you will be able to come in without being healed. Even those promises will still be afar off. Oh, for I am good. I am a good father. Do not allow Satan to lie and to condemn even the seasons that you are in. Do not allow Satan to lie to you. So I'm bringing truth. I'm bringing correct perspective. Even to see the reasons why things seems not to be working even around and for you. I'm bringing perspective to see. You have to look inward. You have to look inward. It's nothing of the external. It is more of the things internal. So I'm pointing even your attention to those things. I'm poking them. I'm pointing attentions to them. I say, pay heed, for daring lies. Even daring lies, your deliverance, as you take heed to this word and apply them. Amen. And apply them, say the Lord.
Amen. You know, I don't want you to have a mindset that, you know, sometimes some of us might feel that, is it that God doesn't want to grant my desire? Is it wrong for me to have desire? Is it wrong for me to like good things? God is not against good things. Say, God is not against good things. But you see, many times, God is, in fact, all the dealings that the Lord takes us through, all those excesses that God cuts away, it's actually for you, it's not for God. Why did I say? It's for you and it's not for God. Because God knows the future. See, I've heard people share even testimonies of their life. I have somebody share testimony of her life, had challenges with infertility. And then there were other guys that were in quotes, according to her fantasy, that she was supposed to marry. That according to her fantasy, they fit those fantasies. But one way or the other, God did not allow her to marry those people. And they had to marry another kind of person. But the person used to thank God that she did not marry all those fantasied husbands. Because he may not have been able to stand that test of time with her. So somebody don't even know. You don't even know what God is saving you from. You just see, God is denying me. God doesn't like me. Bad things for me. You don't even know your future. You can't see beyond your nose. You are a guy. You want them thin. You don't like them fat. Say no, he's seen that all my sister, my mommy, everybody lepa ni champagne, and that is what you want. And God is saying, is this fat? Is this, don't let me say, plus size sister that I want to give you? Sincerely, I've seen people in my clinic that for years, maybe they had men that had challenges with their health, and they will say, help me thank this woman. She has been with me all through my life, you know, supporting me. If you had married, you don't know that one that is champagne. You don't know. God might have seen that this one. God already sees something ahead of you. You don't even know it. And sometimes, you know, God's package blessings, they don't come to us at the initial stage looking well packaged. Jesus was not born in Herod's palace, yet there was greatness in him. He was born in the manger. In fact, when the three wise men were looking for him, their common sense led them to Herod's palace because they felt that that was where the blessing would be. You knew that a whole savior, the most treasured man on earth, will ever be in a manger. See, I've seen people that when you look at them, could have been placed on my lower. As in, physically, look at them. And I've seen people like that begin to, over after 15 years, 10 years, they come into, they get good jobs, and then, what can blow? I'm like, eh? So, consensual, they fine. As in, there's nobody that cannot be fine. Money has not just come. When money comes, you will see fine boy. As in, but you know, at that point, God will test you to know, is it the physical? God will not cast his spells before sight. It's the same thing with his children. So see, some of these brothers that you did, that you feel that they're not anything. You don't know it. 10 years time. Timon Koko. It's true, I like you, my brother. That you are climbing Vespa together. In another 50 years, I don't know maybe it is the Pathfinder of that latest year. No, my Sheila could fetch my climb, Wale. But you know now, he said it has not yet appeared. Not just only spiritual, even in the natural. He said, and you know the truth? If a man has God, there is no limitation. Both spiritually and what? Naturally, in the natural. So don't despise anybody. Tell anybody, so don't despise anybody. And I say, the way I'm looking at this brother, so far I'm a so far. The way I'm looking at this sister, sister, I'm a Sarah. Is it a lie, Joseph? Is it a lie? So many times we can't see into the future. So we don't even know what God has in mind. So when God is saying, well, if God is dealing with something, then there's something God is looking at ahead of you. And the best thing is just to cooperate with God. Say cooperate with God. So taking away the stones, carved images, we've talked about that. Wrong standards at home, at work, for family, for life. Covetousness. Those are some idols. You know, you just covet, just you know, Pastor talked about it this morning. Said having food, said godliness with contentment is what? You see, godliness, that's the most important thing. As long as God is there, I'm just content. And not covetous. Love of self. You know, you love yourself more than you love God. There's nothing you cannot do for yourself, but those things you cannot do it for God. All of those things are idols that God wants to deal with. They will not allow us to come into fruitfulness. They will not grant us open heavens. You know, some of us, the way we give excuse when it comes to, it's better to serve God than to serve Satan. No, you don't think so? It's better to serve God than to serve Satan. Maybe not serve Satan. Yes. It's better God gives you work to do. I want to say it in Yoruba. Sorry, you give me the appetite. I should not be speaking Yoruba. Oh, better kolu agbe ise ni elowo to ke shu ko gbe ise ni elowo lo. Because Satan is a bad tax master. So I will prefer to serve God than for Satan to give me job to be serving. So also some of us, we can serve ourselves. You can serve that your job like as if it is nothing. Read Bible. Invest into spiritual things. Cause you will say, cause it's time. No time. May you not have things that will give you time. You know that time they say you should give God. You know, it's just God is a very loving father. Let's not give them time. But see, what I'm trying to say is that sometimes the way we love ourselves, you know, that love for ourselves, we can go any length for ourselves. But when it comes to things that have spiritual meaning, we find it difficult to sacrifice. Those things will not allow us to be what? Fruitful. And those are things that you must start looking at. Self-love. You just love yourself. You can go any length for yourself, but you cannot go that length for God. Those are stones. Those are things that will not allow. So they need to break. Those are like clogs that will not allow water to permeate into your roots. You see, any man that loves himself, God cannot go far with God. God works with dead men. People that are dead to their ambition, dead to their taste, dead to their own profiting. Those are the people that God finds it easy to work with. So that's one of the things we must, you know what I say? You know, it's January now. You must make decisions. You know, it's January now. You must make decisions that, you know, what I say? Seek God for it. It's not abstract. You must make decisions about how you want to serve God this year. How you want to seek the Lord this year. How many hours do I want to be spending with God? Devotion is not outdated. Devotion cannot be replaced with coming to meeting. How much time do I want to spend with God? What are the times I want to have personal retreats with God? How many books do you want to read? You must set time for God. How many of you, your career, you don't do anything and you progress? And you just be rising and rising and rising. Like a civil servant. Even civil servant, they do promotion exam now. Yet you don't set standard. But in our natural, if you want to achieve it, last year, our business, this is how much you made. This year, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. How much have you set for God? Those are practical things we must learn to do. Set time for God. God, I want to set this time to seek you. This is what I'm going to do this year. God, grant me grace to be able to labor more in the world. Grant me grace to be able to spend more time with you. To meditate more on your word. Amen. Amen. So we must die to our tastes. So that we can come into higher glory. Then, verse 10. So after all these things have been done, prepare room for it. And then when that room is prepared, when they've dug all those things, that allows that plant to now take deep roots. Most of these things that I've described, there are things that don't allow us to take deep roots, that just make us shallow. You know, there are so many shallow Christians today, very shallow. No, and I will not excuse us from even in this place. No shallow, no depth in God. And when I say about depth, because you will know depth in God when challenges come. When situations come, that's when you will know depths. Yeah, you know people's capacity. How much can you weather storms? How much can you stay with God? How much can you give yourself to God? How much can you lay down your taste and your own preferences and your own standards for God's will? If we don't move past that level, maybe with the abused Pentecostal people, it's just a matter of time. We will be like them. We cannot, you see, these things I've described, they are unnegotiable for us to take roots, for us to be established. They are known. You know, sometimes you see some people that they don't have our terminologies, but if you see their work, you can smell deep roots. Yeah. people that are selfish. So one of the things you must pray. You see that God, love for myself. This year, God, you must kill it, eh? We love ourselves. So I see it. Even me that not God, I see it. Don't be the little eye I have. I see it. All people love themselves. You know, that love for self, God must kill it. Yeah. If he doesn't kill it, you cannot go far. You cannot take deep roots. Even the gospel that came to us, and where is gospel not going? All these people that are doing apostle, I can call on about villages where the people are there, deep in the bush. Why are they not taking the gospel there? How do you think that the gospel, you know, have you been to some places and you will see some churches? So churches here. There are some people that labor to plant those churches. We want all of you are sitting down on cushion chair like this. We need people that will go into the bush. Not people that will go into the bush. It's not that they cannot become CEO of a petroleum company. They will have to be. You see, the gospel prospers on blood. It is a bloody gospel. On people's sacrifice. If we raise people that don't have a heart of sacrifice, we are not going anywhere. We just talk. 40, another generation will go, another one will come back. So that's one of the things you must pray to God this year. The Lord will make you selfless. That your love for God must exceed the love for yourself. And God will help you to love him with all of your heart, with all of your strength. And there will be nothing too much for you to sacrifice. Now, if they will say you are sacrificing, I'm not sacrificing. I don't see myself sacrificing anything. No, I don't see. But no matter you are selfish, everything is about you and you. It will be very difficult. Gospel cannot prosper in your heart. Not to talk about gospel prospering in your hand through you. And you see, like I tell people, all this life, 120 years. Last, 120 years. And then we will stand before God and we give account of how we have spent our life. Then, that they know that life, this life that they gave you, it is not your own. So, one of the things that will bring us into fruitfulness is laying down our life. Putting God first. Serving God. Serving the brethren. Hallelujah. You know, you cannot say you are serving God if you don't serve the brethren. That's what God is saying. God said, you cannot tell me you love me if you don't love my people. No, God keeps arming that thing into my say, if you cannot bear these people, you cannot bear me. Right. Oh, I say, God, Oshoro, I will give you grace. But if you cannot bear brethren, you cannot bear God. Love the brethren. Serve them. Be considerate of other people. Look into affairs of others. You know, you must start training yourself. How not to love yourself is to start looking into the affairs of others. Okay, how can I not love myself? Start looking into other people's affairs. Try to see how can I serve my sister. How can I demand myself to be a blessing to this person? How can I? How can I put myself under just to serve this person? How can I deny myself of a life just to serve the brethren? Thank you. These are things we must start looking at. You don't want to be hearing big gospel, and then we can just say all of those. So let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was what? In Christ Jesus. Looking into the affairs of others. Serving other people. When you live with people, look at how can I serve this person? And be a blessing to this. Don't live with people and be a chairman in the house. And be a chairwoman. And then you are giving those people heartache. You are hurting God. You should serve one another. We must say these things to ourselves. Blessing is in serving. What did I say? No, he told the disciples, he said, if you want to be the greatest, it is the servants, that is those that serve, that are the greatest. You know, that time I used to make one jest. I said, but you know where some people accuse me that I usually put ice in everything in church. I'll put ice in choir. I'll put ice in everywhere. And I said, who doesn't like to cross leg like Pastor Mrs. and everybody is serving me? Then me too, I like it though. I just sit and I just say, okay, everything is just set. I said, In fact, I'm looking forward to that. All of you, maybe you say I'm putting eyes in everything. That I even want people to grow up and be able to do what they're going to. God said, the day you do that, you are dead. That because that means that you are no longer serving. That your greatness is in your serving. He's in serving the brethren. He's in doing things. That is not the way up. They have not called you to sit down and cross your leg and be served. They have called you to serve people. So I said, So you know that fantasy of one. You know, that's how I carved images. You know, that they'll just sit down, everything is just working. Okay. So the children in its ministry, how is it going? Oh, it's going on smoothly. We thank God. Yeah. I know they're just all set. You know, say all set. Carved images. I said, no, that is not the road that I've called you into. What I've called you to is to serve. And serve actively, no matter where you are, serve. And so blessing is, I say blessing is in service. Get your hands dirty. Say get your hands dirty. Serve, serve, serve. Look for a way to serve your brother. Look for a way to do things from your brother. Not because of gain or anything. Not because you have an ulterior motive. Even the ones I know that will not marry you, that don't have any intention of serving, of marrying, serve them. Say, serve them all. Serve them all. Serve. Serve your brethren. Serve them all. Be good to them. Lord, you know some of you, if you, your own sister, my own brother, there is nothing you cannot do from your own sister. But if other sister call you, please can you help me, Brother Banji, please can you help me? Ah, I don't have time, oh, I'm busy. But if it is your own sister, what do you want? Okay, is it Mokola? Ah, we go to Aleshila SF. Is it Lagos? No, it's Mokola I want you to go. Ah, send me to Lagos, I will go. Yeah. It cannot last. Yeah, say, serve them all. I can't hear you. Say, serve them all. Serve them all. Serve your sisters. Serve your brothers. You know, be kind hearted to one another. And be considerate. Say, be considerate. You know, that's one of the things I want us as an assembly, you know, that I want us to also bring into place. That will make us come into fulfillment. Or else we just have people that are hypocrites. Say, be considerate in everything you are doing. So even if, you know, because it's an open assembly where you don't take advantage of your brother. Because if you are not doing, you know that if you go and meet your brother that I need 2K, that he will give you. They now start taking advantage of it all the time. You're now needing 2K, 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 2K all the time. If everybody is collecting 2K, 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 that brother will soon bankrupt. Say, be considerate. Be considerate to one another. Be considerate. I say, am I considerate towards this person? The way I'm using this person thing. You know, I used to tell people that I have car. I said, don't do overload. I've said, if I call people, I say, don't think I'm wicked, it is true. So, you know, like Pastor said, they did not make the car to carry 7 people. Ogbolonyu, Ogbomo, Ogboko, Ogbe, you know, they did not do car to be like that. I said, it's not a wicked person. I said, just be considerate. Say, if shocks, do you know how much they do shocks? I've asked somebody, say, do you know how much they do shocks? Say, it's better for you, they even give you 200 naira to take bike than for you to overweight that car. And when the shock spoiled, the brother cannot come and meet you that bring money for. Say it's part of being considered. Ah, this guy is already okay. Don't worry. I'll go and take it back. She brought for a moment, said, 200 naira. He said, okay, take. It's better. And you don't get annoyed. You know, they, God will provide our own car too for us. Oh, jeez. Say, be considerate. I saw one film that somebody was showing that when the person paying the bills and the person is paying, the person that wanted to dig gari and then brought milk and sugar. The person that did not pay for the milk and sugar. The person like 1, 2, 3, took milk, 1, 2, 3, 4, took buganot, and then I showed the person that owned the all these risks. The person also took small milk. Small sugar because the person knows the money. But nobody are not paying for something, just like it is not considerate. Say considerate. If you are like that, you're not considerate. Only grow dada. Now, some of them think some of the things that will not make us fruitful is some of this not being considerate about other people. Not considering other people. You know, part of considering other people is maturity. It's part of spirituality. It's part of having the mind of Christ. considering. Those are not your things. You are working in an establishment, not in this Ibadan. Companies used to fold up. How many of you know? Plenty companies, they will just start. Before you know, they are ready. As if you are working in a company, you should pray for that company. That company will do, and you serve that company well. Because God has put you there. Pray for that place, that place will do well. Consider your boss. How can we improve things? How can things get better? See, when you are like that, you are positioning yourself for greatness. Not just only even in the natural, in the spirit. Because most people employ, they just want to collect salary and go. That is not the mind of Christ. Say, be considerate. You see, the more you grow spiritually, you see that the less you think of yourself, the more you think about other people. And you consider other people. That money comes into your hand and it lands. Bam! The first thing you think of is a new phone. iPhone. What's the latest iPhone now? iPhone, kini. iPhone 15 till day. You don't even consider, okay, this money, is there a way I can bless somebody around me? This money, God, what is the purpose of this money? Now, some of us, don't think that way. When money just lands our hand like this, it's about the land, so she land, you know, she might land away. I told someone, I said, see, and I'm not using myself to boast. I said, there was a time they were doing mortgage at work. And everybody was doing that mortgage. And I know how much we're going to remove from salary. So maybe, in fact, I'd already gone to feel the fact. Shout okay, and I shout here, call it. I didn't shout out to enjoy. And so I now filled the form. So when they now showed me the money, they will be removing. It was even me that told me, I said, I'm not doing. Mother said, why not? I said, I said, if I do this thing, I said, if brethren now come and say, I want the award, Gigi. You know those kind of award, Gigi. Hey, Pastor, we have. I said, I can't do all those things. I said, and I cannot imagine not being able to do that. I said, so that is building without grace. I said, the kind of building I want to do is that I can build with grace and I'm still a blessing. I'm not saying you should not build. So I'm saying, Pastor, you should not use our money to build. We should give it back. Not the way some people used to hear. I'm just telling you how I said, I won't be able to give the way I want to give. Because it should just be what is enough for me to eat. Say there will not be more than enough to be a blessing. So that means that I've not gotten to that phase. Our mind must be like that. Always looking for how will you be a blessing in your life. Now, some of you, the reason why your business has not even grown is because as long as that business can pay your school fees, pay your children's school fees, you are just okay. You have not looked for a business that you can use to sponsor the gospel. When you begin to think that way, if they say you should be more diligent with your work, you'll be diligent. Because your mind is that I want to prosper in such a way that I can, my money can be used to further the gospel. But when you are okay, at least you can pay school fees. I'm sending my children to school. I can pay as a then I'm okay. You're not okay. Say be considerate. So I believe God wants to bring us into fruitfulness this year. But that mindset, God wants us to have it, of being considerate, of considering other people. In everything that you do, be considerate. Consider other people. How can I be a blessing to people? How can I be a blessing at my place of work? How can I be a blessing in my neighborhood? How can I be a blessing in church? You are thinking about other people. You are not just overwhelmed. You feel you are the only one that has problem in this life. No, some of you do. You do as if, I said, if I share, we should exchange problem. I said, you should exchange. But one day, my daughter was like, I'm going through a lot of things. I look at her, I said, I said, I should give you what I'm going through and I take your own. She said, oh, mommy, you don't understand. I'm going through a lot. I said, it must really be a lot. So you cannot understand. I cannot understand and I don't want to understand. So be considerate. Don't be, you know, one of the signs of the end time is that people will be self-absorbed. They will be overwhelmed with their body, with their own need, with their own everything, my own, my this, my that. They'll be over. That is one of the signs of the perilous times. They are just self-absorbed. And so we must start thinking outside. Say, think outside yourself. Think outside yourself. Think outside yourself. Life is more than you. And it will always be more than you. Think outside yourself. Love the brethren. Those are the ways to become free. He said it is more blessed to give. Give love. Give greeting. You won't kill me. You will not kill me. They have not come to visit me. You too. You did not visit. Go and join visitation team and be visiting people. It is more blessed to what? To give. Ha! In that children's church, they are not taking of the children very well. Go and join them. And serve there. That means they need help. And don't complain. Ah! That's sanitary units. The toilet roll they used to give us is very small. Buy toilet roll at the end of the month and donate it. Say it is more blessed to give than to receive. You see, those are mindset. You know, Ibadan, like I used to say my husband, Ibadan has a micro mentality. How you must fight it. It's a mindset of micro, micro, you know, mini things. Say, no, I know we don't want to say think big, but we need to think with a your God is large hearted. See, God, we bless the wicked and the good. He's large hearted. That's the way you should be. You should be large hearted. You should think about people. Imagine how many people in this world are praying to God. Many people are praying to God today, and He's hearing. He's large hearted. He thinks about everybody. He's thinking. Those that are taking strong meat, he's thinking about them. Those that are taking meat, he's thinking about them. Those that are taking milk, he's thinking. Those that are not yet born again, he's thinking how you get them born again. Say largeness of heart. And don't just be micro, micro in your own problem. Not those small minds and micro, micro, you know, your own problem. And just feel, oh, I'm just overwhelmed. Oh, my life. Oh, God, where? Oh, you allow God to open your mind. You know what they said about Job? Say God began to bless him when he began to pray for his friends. So this year, these are new attitudes that we must do what? We must imbibe. So that we can do what? Come into fruitfulness. Amen. So our root must go deep down for abundant fruitfulness. That was like a prepared room for that tree. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 31. Ezekiel 31. Verse 3-4. Indeed, Assyria was a cedar in Lebanon, with fine branches that shaded the forest, and of high stature, and its top was among the thick boughs. So it was a big tree. So the waters made its world grow. Under it was not just surface water. Underground waters gave it height, with their rivers running around the place where it was planted, and sent out rivulets to all the trees of the field. So you see that what made it grow, taking back to verse 3. What made that tree grow? Let me start from verse 2. Let's start from verse 2. I think that would make more sense. Son of man said to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, whom are you like in your greatness? Verse 3. Indeed, Assyria was a cedar in Lebanon, with fine branches that shaded the forest, and of high stature, and its top was among the thick boughs. So it had a very high stature. Why did it have high stature? Verse 4. The reason why I had to say the waters made it go. What kind of waters? Underground waters did what? Gave it height. So it was waters were under that gave it height. And where did it get this height from? It was because it roots. Can you look for that scripture? Because of time. Okay, let's continue. Verse 5. Hallelujah. Therefore, its height was exalted above all the trees of the field. Its boughs were multiplied, and its branches became long. Why? Because of the abundance of water as it sent them out. Verse 6. All the birds of the heavens made their nest in his boughs, under his branches, and in the shadow all great nations made their home. Verse 7. Thus it was beautiful in greatness and in the length of his branches. Why? Because its roots reached toward abundant waters. So it had deep roots that could reach underground waters. So the world wants our roots to go down. That is where our greatness lies. Roots going down deep into what? Underground waters. And that waters is the word, said washing of the water by the word. Going down, roots that can go down. so that I can bring forth what? Abundance of water. Plenty of waters. So if you want greatness, one of the things, you know, one of the things I said to God for, I said this year, I must give attention to the word the more. I found out that it will be very difficult to prosper. And this one is not just both spiritually and even in the natural, without giving so much attention to the word. That God, I have to give myself to the word the more. It's the waters. That I must be able to go take deep to get nutrients from the word that you are speaking to us in this season. Amen. Let's quickly rush. So, plenty of water. So we can't remove word from growth and every level of becoming fruitful. Let's look at Josiah, and then we will round up there. Let's look at 2 Chronicles verse. I think let's do the 2 Kings chapter 22. Let me open my scripture so that I will know where, because of time. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscat. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of his father David. Give me the 2 Chronicles version first. 2 Chronicles 34. I think we still come to this place, but there's something I want to bring out from that one. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king and reigned. And reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left hand. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molding images. He broke down altars of Baals in his presence, and in the incense altars which were above them, he cut them down. And wooden images and carved images and molding images, he broke all manner of images. You know, but the reason why he could do this, it was after some years he had learnt God's wisdom. He got to see that those things were wrong, because those are things they grew up with that were already in the temple. So as he sought the Lord, you know, like Pastor told us, the doctrine gives you judgments. Then he began to tell all these images, we need to get them. So that was the first level of separation. Then let's go to verse 8. In the 18th year of his reign, after 10 years, you know, it was in the 8th year that he started seeking the Lord. So after 10 years, said in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joas, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord of his God. So he began to come to a season where he wanted to give himself to building. To building the house of God. See, 10 years after seeking the Lord, you know, purification. So sometimes, like I said, we have not even come into building until they first of all clear some rubbish. You know, it's like acquiring a piece of land. Once they've already turned the place into a dump refuse. No, they can't. We just start building that way. First of all, clear. Remove trees. Do all manner. Remove all the refuse. Then after that, then they can ask, okay, we can now start seeing, okay, what do you want to even do with this land? Amen. So, when they, verse 9, when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites who kept the door had gathered from them. Verse 14, but so it's a good story that you should read, the story of Josiah. Verse 14, now when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found what? The book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. This had been lost somewhere in the temple. What is so new? So for years, they did not even know anything. And everything, all the commandments of how to live, what they should do, was actually documented in this book. That was supposed to be their manual for living. It was supposed to determine their standards, their judgment. Everything was lost. So they now found it. So let's go to verse 19. Verse 18. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Thus it happened, when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. No, no, the thing told me, God said, he was not, you know, that it's two things. First thing is to find the law. One thing is for it to be read. And another thing is for you to hear. So, they said he read. And he heard. That hearing is not confetti, God. That hearing is the word entered his heart. And that was why he produced an action. A response. So, the word penetrated. So the entrance of the word. That was the hearing. And what? He tore his clothes. And then we began to see response. And when he tore his clothes, I think we can go to the second Kings version. I prefer that one. Second Kings chapter 23, verse 3. Let's go to verse 2 of this so that people can follow. Then the king went up to the house of the Lord. So the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And no ye had heard before. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which he had been found in the house of the Lord. Verse 3. And this is it. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimony and his statutes with what? All his heart, all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. No, 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 God said, before they got to this place, there had been some level of purification. Now, this can be likened to people standing on Zion. So he said he stood by the pillar. You know, there's been some level, you know, if you read the account, there's been some level of purification before then. After the purification, removing some molding, idols, removing. If they had not done that first, they cannot find this book of law. This book of law was, you know, it was like an everlasting covenant. Documents archiving everlasting covenant. So there was a level of purification. Now, like I said, that vine, when that vine was brought out of Egypt, what was the first thing they do? They cast out what? Stones. They cast out the nations. So there was a level of purification that had already taken place before he now got to a place of finding this book of the law that was given by Moses. And it was archiving a covenant. So there are certain levels of the word of understanding we cannot come in until the Lord first of all purify us of certain things. So it's all those things that I'm describing, all of those attitudes I'm saying that we must come out of. We need to come out of all those things so that we can now come into some level of understanding. So that we can now come to stand on Zion. You know, those people that have been redeemed from the earth. And then they can now begin to teach them another song. So he said, he stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimony and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. Let's continue. So you will see that. So after that, so they had to discover the word. They heard the word. And when he heard the word, there was a response. And that response produced a whole lot of reformation that took place afterwards. So after they discovered this word, it did not just stop there. Can you give me from verse? From verse 8 to 11. Let's read from verse 8 to 11. So after this, he brought all the priests from the cities of Judah and defiled the ark. Not that they had already done one that we read before, that removed some molding images. So that means there were still more, even in the house. No, those were even in the city. After they found the law, when he read the law, then he discovered that some of the things they were doing in the temple was wrong. Without the unveiling of that law, they wouldn't even know. You know, like Pastor said this morning, then there is a level of the doctrine of the word that needs to bring us into judgment and discernment. You see, there are things in our life, motives, that to us, you just feel is right. is normal. That it will take us coming into some level of understanding for God to judge those things. So he said, and the high places where the priest had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba. Also, he broke down the high places at the gates, which at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were to the left of the city gate. Verse 9. Nevertheless, the priest of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brethren. It was the priest of those high places, so they were still mixed with the people. It was the Lord that made them to know. So never, verse 10. And he defied Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might take his son or his daughter pass through the fire to Molech. Then the children of Israel were already taking their children to pass through things that God told them that they must not do. But over years, they had lost the law and they even felt that it was a normal thing to be doing. And they were doing it until they found the book of the law. So my prayer is this, that this year, you will find laws that will break you free from hidden sins. You know, standards that we, you know, there are things that we just feel it is normal. It is just natural. That we, if we invite to things that we just do natural, that it is me, this is me. Even, you know, you feel it is right. Our own self-righteousness. He takes the law of God, everlasting light, extraying those things and making us to see those things. That is how we can break free from those things. See, some of the infirmities, my mother said, now I know that there are some infirmities that have everlasting strength. That they can't just go away just like that. He takes an everlasting light, you know, shining on us to break us away. You know, some of us are so wise in our own understanding. And you just feel that it is right. You feel you are hearing God. It is God. You know, you just do things. You are so 100% sure. They were doing all of this in sacrificing their daughters in fire. High places in the house of God. And they were doing sacrifices. Things that God had told their fathers that they must not do. But it had become something that they were already used to. Until they discovered the law. Then their eyes were opened. Then they saw that it was wrong. And then the king began to go after all of those things. My prayer in this is that everlasting light will shine on us. And God will go after things in our life that will not allow us to bear fruit unto righteousness. You know, things that will break us free. You know, things, you know, at that time the light has shone on you and I'm like, I didn't know that I was in darkness. We need light to shine on us. And we must believe God that in this year we will find such laws that will break us free, you know, from all those hidden things, you know, norms, you know. Now, you know, there are things that people even joke with. You know, like all this, no grief for anybody. You know, and everybody, you don't say, I don't grieve for anybody this year. They're just so prevalent, and then you just take them as normal things. And you just say, it's just kids, it's just whatever it is. It is a win. And then just become rebellious. I told my children, I said, I don't want to hear that thing. And then if you hear it, I will use beating to beat. So they don't let me hear that thing in my environment. So if I say use beating to beat you to agree. So things like that, you know, environmental pollutions that look very normal. You know, things that you just agree with, things that has no roots in God's word, but it takes light to shine. To set us free from those things. We must believe God for those things. That we not just only discover those things, but we have ears to hear. No, it's another thing for light to shine, for another thing for you to embrace it and respond. You know, those are the prayers that have been praised. I said this year, let me find laws that will break me free. Amen. Amen. Let's quickly continue and then we'll round up. Next verse. Then he removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance to the house of the Lord. By the chamber of Nathan Melech, the officer who was in the court, and he burned the chariot of the sun with fire. Imagine. Idolatry to the highest, and they did not know. They thought they were doing the right thing. Then, verse 11, then he removed the verse 12. Then the altars that were on the roof, the upper chamber of hers, the whole environment was laced with idolatry. Orishirishi idols, and they felt they were coming on work. That's why, you see, when you feel that you are okay, that you don't have anything doing you, for self-deception. The upper chamber of the heirs, which the king of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, the king broke down and pulverized there and threw their dust into the brook Kidron. Verse 13. Then the king defied the high places that were east of Jerusalem, which were on the south. So it was not only in the house, even in the environment, east of Jerusalem, which were on the south of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, king of Israel, that is Solomon, had built for Ashtoreth, and the abomination of the Sidons. You know, she married one of their daughters. For and they now passed it to Jesus. See, some of us, some of the things that are worrying us are things you even inherited from your parents, from your lineage, you know, attitudes and all of those. See, for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, for Milcom, the abomination of the people of Ammon. Oh, Jesus. Verse 14. And he broke in pieces the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high, imagine at Bethel. No, this place, Bethel was where house of God. Hey, Jesus. And the high place with Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, had made both that altar and the high place. He did what? He broke down and he burned the high place and crushed it to powder and burned the wood. And pray that we will experience this year. They say, as we come for meetings and what is coming, things idolatry in high places, you know, hidden deception, hidden darknesses, the Lord will be visiting them and bringing them down. And he will be cleansing us with the word, as the word is preached, and the word is, that's what I'm believing God for, as the word is being published, things in our lives that are hidden darkness, they will be broken down. Amen. Verse 16. And Josiah turned. He saw the tombs. He did not just only take, he did not only attend to the one living. He went to the ones that are also dead. He saw the tombs that were there on the mountain, and he sent and took the bones out of the tombs and burned them on the altar. Everlasting reformation. Nothing unturned. Say nothing unturned. They opened their graves. Nothing spared, and burned them on the altar, and defiled it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Verse 17, then he said, what gravestone is this that I see? So the man of the city told him, it is the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and proclaimed these things which you have done against the altar of Bethel. There was a man that had already given this prophecy. Yes, before then. Verse 18. And he said, let him alone. Let no one move his bones. So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet who came from Samaria. Verse 19. Now Josiah also took away all the shrines of the high places that were in the city of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger. And he did to them according to all the deeds he had done in Bethel. Verse 20. He executed all the priests of the high places who were there on the altars and burned men bones on them, and he turned to Jerusalem. Then the king commanded all the people. They had not kept Passover for years. He said, keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in this book of, you know, the injunction to keep feast was in that book. They had not kept Passover for years. Until they discovered the law. Just telling you how powerful the word is. So that's why if you joke with the word, you will keep your darkness. Yes. The way to deal with darkness is with the word. Because it's through that word that the law of the Lord is revealed. Amen. Verse 22. Such a Passover surely had never been held since the day of Judges, who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the king of Israel and the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was held before the Lord in what? Jerusalem. Because one man just decided to seek the Lord. Everything started with what? One man deciding to do what? Seek the Lord. Tell your neighbor, say, seek the Lord. Verse 24. So you can see what your obedience can do. Can you see what one man's obedience can do? It can repair ruins, desolations of many generations. Just because you decide to obey the Lord, just because you decide to follow the Lord, things can happen. Desolations of many generations can be taken care of. Moreover, Josiah put away those who consulted. consulted medium, consulted mediums and spiritists. So Kinsheni ni mediums and spiritists. The household gods. Can you see? Household gods and idols. Say household gods and idols. This year you must judge them. You say, oh, you're all those household gods. Your parents will tell you want to do wedding. They say, this is how we do it in our house. So you say, I tell people. And listen to me. I'm not saying you should be rebellious to your parents, but you say it is part of spirituality. There are things that if God, and I will say, some people might not agree with me, but there are things that when you are a believer, you must be a believer in everything. And not just an ordinary believer, a kingdom believer. When you're a kingdom believer, you must be a kingdom believer. Not only when you're in City Gate Church, in your house, and your family, they must know. I take my stand on Saturday. So you cannot just be a kingdom believer. In City Gate Church, you are singing, you are doing usher. When you are at home, your parents are on feel well, then bah. Things I have known because of their own household gods. And you say you cannot stand against it. They did not say that. They say you should not dishonor your parents. They did not say you should not dishonor them. But it's not that you should agree with unrighteousness. With wrong standards. Wrong stand. Even about marriage, you will tell them. That is not what makes a marriage. They give, I'm an activist in my approach, but it's not a raw activist. My parents cannot tell me to do certain things. Amen. And I will not. I will tell them my stand. Amen. I cannot bring a brother home. I know what the brother is saying. And then you now bring one list. I will tell them that it's two things to be true. That I don't marry. You cannot marry more. No, it's true. That you will not put me under pressure that will choke me. Because of their household gods. And they will say, no, wedding city, we took Gele. Just this wedding. All my friends, they came. And then they, I am not city. I am not your only child. God will give you more children that you can use to flourish whatever you have. And they say, no, I cannot do anything about it. I cannot do anything. And you are hearing truth. It is a disgrace for me personally. I don't believe you should. I'm not saying you should believe, but there are things that you know it is not according to God's word and you don't stand by it. And you don't shy away from it. Because there are household gods. What did I say? And I tell people, any battle you don't fight now, office, what you need? You will still meet it in front. Because they will keep bringing it, they will keep bringing the warfare to your door. Until they come to the point where they know your stand, they say, Konigba. And I know that you will not bow on the basis of righteousness, not because you are a thug or you just want to dishonor them. They know that it is on the basis of what? Of righteousness. You should not be weaklings. I don't know how to stand for truth. Sisters, and I'm telling you this, you don't be weaklings in your family. And then I'm not saying you should be rebellious to your parents. You know, it's so bad some people, they even can't bring one family for one guy that doesn't want anything. They say you should come and marry him. And say, I don't know what to say. You don't know what to say. That will come on, but that's a joy. Household God, because of their household gods, because of their own idolatry, their own standards. Why? It is part of maturity. Say maturity. They should know your stuff. I'm not saying you should go and dishonor. I'm not saying you dishonor your parents. But I'm not saying you should agree with unrighteousness and agree with wrong standards and start your life on a wrong premise, on a premise of compromise. Why? Why should you do that? With all the truth you are hearing, why should you do that? Why should you do that? Why should you do that? So there is something about truth must affect every. You can see discovering this truth. You can see how it affected everything. Every area of your life, you stand for the truth. I said it is not truth. As long as it is truth, you stand on it. You know, some family, the way they will conspire about another family member. They should know you. They will not even call you. They say, being paid off about him. Oh, tell me, yes, the last week, we went for my sister's clinic. This is what happened. Don't mind them. And then you are gossiping with them. When you now want to stand for truth, how do you want to stand for truth? It is from there you will be telling them that those kind of whatever. It's not, mommy, I've told you I'm a Christian. Not just only a born again, I'm a serious Christian. Because I'm not saying, I'm not sure, I shouldn't even sin. Say, no, but I'm a Bible believing believer. Say, stand for righteousness. They say one brother has proposed to you. Maybe a brother. He said, my, I've seen once. I said, bring the name. Let's go and pray. Oh, they want to go and consult spiritist and medium. And the issue, you submit the name. I said, maybe I'm not the one going there. You are partnered with them. See what Josiah is doing to mediums and spiritists. Those things, it's not that it happens. They say, bring his name. Bring more. Pastor, I'm going to pray the Lord. Pastor, you want to pray? Consulted mediums and spiritists. The house, say household gods. Household gods must go this year. Yes. Household gods and idols. All the abominations that we are seeing in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might perform the words of the law, which were written in the book that Hilkiah, the priest, found in the house of the Lord. Let's quickly. 25. Now before him, there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with what? All his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Nor after him did any rise like him. And he started with just one man deciding to seek the Lord, to follow the Lord. And he discovered may we find the Lord this year. And may we respond appropriately. I want you to rise up on your feet and just pray to God this year. And just respond to those words. And just respond to those words. And say, God, help me. Help me to seek you this year. Help me. Help me. Cast out the nations. Cast out the stones. Prepare a room around me. Bring me into fruitfulness this year. Cause my roots to go deep into the ground and cause me to bring up fruit unto righteousness. Lord, prepare a room for me. Prepare, take away the stones, take away the limitations, take away those things that choke the seeds from bearing fruit. Prepare a room for me this year, my Father. Dig, break fallow grounds. Cause my roots to go down deep into the world. Let my roots go down deep into abundant waters. Let me find abundant waters this year. Let me find abundant waters that is able to wash me and purify me and set me free from idols, household gods, from those things that defile, and allow me to respond to you with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my strength, and all of my mind, my Father. Help me, Lord Jesus.
Reach to heaven and receive grace according to the word that has been spoken to us. That the Lord will grant us sufficient grace this year. That we will allow our hearts to be framed and shaped by the word. Will allow our lives to be governed by the word. The Lord God will supply sufficient. I want you to pray that your heart will respond. Receive grace to confront things that needs to be confronted, to break down altars, standards, perspectives, attitudes, structures in my life not according to the standards of God. Remenia fra papa comenia sasavoka shele brofe nebraste pronata recapania fra pepenio jamele coca rapapanioda. I want you to pray and talk to God. Lord, you'll cause grace to be supplied to my heart this year. Parone vegene breni sosuva gagashta. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that you were demonstrating while you were ministering is the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith is a bold spirit. And boldness is to stand on the standards of God. I notice that some of us, we don't understand that dimension of faith. There's a dimension of what you were describing were things that we learned in milk. We learned them in milk. We learn to stand for what we believe in. I remember when I was a teenager and my daddy stopped me from going to church. He fought me from going to a Pentecostal church then. We know, I had, because I loved God so much. I was going to a charismatic church. It was warfare. I was just 18. I used to think that if I didn't fight that battle, I won't minister today. I would not have been fit to be a minister of the gospel. It was much for me at that age. And I'm not saying, my dad is a wonderful man. He was just, you know, he didn't understand that dimension. So he came into the room, he discouraged me. Then that's it. Stay in your local church. That was Anglican church. And I wanted more of God. Okay? So I remember I was going to a church then. It was a faith teaching church. It was Hagen and Copeland. So when I went there and I was hearing that, I said, this is where I would die. Do you understand this guy? And I was 18. But I was still under authority. That was difficult. My whole family was going to Anglican. So my daddy discouraged me. And after, I said, Daddy, this is where God wants me to go. Please allow me to serve God. He said this and all that. After I said that, after I finished, he said, you not go to that church? And I say, yes, sir. And I was carrying my Bible. He said, where are you going? I'm going to that church. He looked at me and just said, I don't know. There was a time I used to, I'm not saying you copy my, but you copy my spirit. Because I did it out of a love for God. Totally given to God. Pastor CG2 did it. That's why I stand here today. It was me that went to bail him. Yeah, he's truly my son in the spirit. Pastor CG's daddy will call me. Where my son? He was hungry for God. I could identify with it. So I remember one night I came from church. It was around then. Service used to finish by 7:30. So I got home by 8. My daddy was angry. He was beating me. He said, you will leave my house today. I said, this is my father's house. I said, go to your father's house. You know what? He started laughing. He just left me alone. And he left me alone. Okay. But I believe that those were a demonstration of the prophetic spirit. I believe that he could have died. So at times, Satan can use your natural siblings to stop God in your life. It's possible. You can do it. He can. Sometimes they are even doing it not because they hate you, they love you. But that love will kill God. It will kill God. So what she's saying is true. We learn those things from basics. They will give you water to drink. We learned it from that time. You have everlasting light. You are still taking. Psalm 91, Psalm 61. Psalm 50. You are still drinking some water. With doctrine of Christ. Something that faith should have dealt with. So it's true that we have to cover all those areas. Because this message is not just talk. It's life. Everything. That's why I'm teaching what I'm teaching. The whole counsel of God. Because I want people that are thorough. I don't want people that have heavy stuff in their mouth. Their heart is small. I want thorough believers that are sound. When you are at home, they know that this one a firebrand. Part of your firebrand is that you honor your brain. I'm not lazy at home. If it's that, it's because of work. You finish up. When mommy, mommy has her story though. She was in choir. And she had to do vigil. And our father took her stand. If you go to VG, when you come back, you will not sleep. You start Saturday's work. She will come from VG, she will not sleep. Teenager, she will walk. Most of us, we say we will not go to VG. That's the milk of the world. Those are the things that God has to do in your life. Love for God. That means I'm ready to sacrifice sleep. You are saying that choose sleep or quiet the other. So many people will choose sleep, sir. With doctrine of Christ. Oh! I said there is a change this year. This is our year of establishment. I told you. this year God will be thorough with us. I told you at the bridge service, God is not going to leave. I told you God is not going to spare us. Because see, we must be a full church of lively stones so that we can undo everlasting light and use it well. So all these areas, heaven is combing them. Boldness. You know, as she was reading Josiah, I was just excited. Of course, I read it. It's been a long time I've read that scripture, but it came alive. I saw the heart of God. God is thorough. God is thorough. God is thorough. Yes, God is thorough. God is thorough. And we see that in Josiah. God does not leave small sin. This sin is okay. You can still stay there. The guy went after every goddamn thing that was against the will of God. He went after it. Now discover that you cannot have roots except you uproot this. We have to break down structures, mentalities, things that are wrong. We have to, you understand, you can't patch things up. When it comes to God, you can't patch things up. You cannot live this life with compromises. If you start with compromises, you will continue. I said, God, I was just sitting there, God, no patching up. We are not patching up. Check every area. Spoil things that are not in your will. Grant us the word, the grace. Let's go after it. A people must be sanctified and purified, made ready for the Lord. That's the kind of people that God must raise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finally, let's just receive grace that our heart will respond to God. And this year is a significant year. We want it to count. Let it count for God. Let it count in us. The Lord set us ablaze. The Lord purify a people. Sanctify a people. People that are zealous for good works. Lord, we ask, Lord, that there will be sufficient grace published, released in us, walking through us. Lord God, purge the house of any kind of mixture. Purge the house. Purge our hearts of anything that are not in alignment. Parone prepepe niya susuba kabrania. Shomele kramoshta rapepe niya tubrama. Zomele gremo shevremenia. Jovremenia fropopoponia tabranata. Parone veregenomeni susuba niya frapapaniata. Paroge de bene bene gode bene susuba de gede. You know, there were many things that it was our Pentecostal fathers that changed. Initially, in naming ceremonies, Orogbo Obi, Oyi, all those things that they used to name, our fathers fought them one by one. You understand? That's what they used to name people like us. Oyi Reo, Aye Adu, put it in your mouth. That's what they did. It was Pentecostal churches that rose and began to fight those things. If they didn't stop it, they would have named you like that too. Check it out. I just found out that I appreciate their faith. They were the ones that broke the mindset concerning marriage in their time. You understand? People married normally. They married with Fanta and Bonds. It was that generation that broke it. Did you see Oyedepo's wedding? Do you understand some of the things? If I heard that the car that was supposed to take him, Oidaosa, the car that was supposed to take him was borrowed, and the person came to take it. And they had to shift their reception to a house of, so they did their reception in front of a house. And after that, they walked to. They broke those things, some traditional standard, because they were people of faith. People of faith break trends. People of faith follow God. They don't follow trends. They don't follow tradition. They love God and they do God's will. They were so excited. Then, just with the fact that, we want to marry and do the will of God, was what was in their hearts. Yeah. They didn't have standards. Yeah. Baba Debo, you lived in one room. You would tell me you can't live in one room. Who are you? Are you better than him when they started life? He was a PhD holder. He could stay in one room. Who are you? We have rated ourselves beyond what we are not. So those are the issues that we have to begin to retrace. People that love God. People that are ready to subject themselves to the standards of God's word. People that are full with so much joy to do the will of God. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? people that will do God's will, people that are ready to wait and grow with grace. I was still teaching that yesterday. I said, you need to understand that there are things that, you need to understand operations of grace according to season.
Yes, sir.
If you don't understand, I said, and you know, I'm saying this because we're in that era as a local church. I said, if your taste is higher, than the grace that God has made available for you, is equals busy, you will owe. Because you have to meet up with a standard of life that you have defined. So you need to understand cycles of grace. And I said that men of faith understand this. When the Lord began to teach me that, I felt that maybe I'm just a conservative, until I started hearing men of faith. People like Hagin. There was wisdom. They were men of faith. They breathed through their tastes. They lived beneath their means so that they could give to God. How much do you give in a year to God? You. Yet, you can afford to go and do certain things. You have to calculate those things. If they don't balance, you are not faithful. You are not faithful. It means that something is taking in something from you. And there's no way, God. I was telling them yesterday, I said, service is the seed of greatness. I'm telling you. Many of us, we don't chop our seed. Even concerning the natural, there's no way. See, I told someone. Someone was telling me recently, this 2024, I just kept quiet. Because you see, there are some things I've done in the past. It was in a family setting. This 2024, God must bless me. God must bless me. When would you alone? God must. I said, why should? I was saying, I said, why should God bless you? I said, this person is selfish. God is not committed to bless you for because you are living for yourself. Why should God bless you? Have you ever thought of it? That's your blessing. How is it useful to God? So why should God bless you? Anybody that does not have seed in the ground cannot have an harvest. If you eat your seed, that's the end. The only people that are positioning themselves for greatness are those that are what? Sowing in tears. We need to teach this. So that's the mentality. And that's why we have many believers that are deceived year in, year out. My year of this, my year of that. Nothing changes at the end of the year because people are not taught to obey the word. You are not taught to obey it. So you are entering 2024. This is my year. God, you do miracle in my life this year. And then when you get to December, you know, say, people don't ask questions. You should go back to the word. We should obey God. Last year will not be different from this year outside your obedience and your dedication to follow God. Hallelujah. So we are a people that the Lord wants to do a thorough work in our hearts, a deep work of circumcision. So that the words that we are hearing, they are powerful words, so that they will find expression through us. Can we say amen? I'm not hearing your amen. We must be heavier than the environment, heavier than the world. We must be people given to God. Lift up your hands and let's just ask God to help us. We are asking for help. We want to be thorough. We want to raise a sound people for God. We want to be able to raise a sound people for God. Raise a sound people for God. Raise a sound people. A generation of those that love God. A generation of people that love God. Lord, we ask for grace and mercy. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you glory. We'll thank you. Lord, we will make every adjustment. Can we begin to thank the Lord this afternoon? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Finally, I don't want anyone to be afraid of following God. God, peace. And if God is demanding things in your life, it's because He has a better plan for you. When God says drop this, it's because that thing will enjoy you. So we should learn to obey God and not be afraid to follow God all the way. I would say amen. I just felt I needed to say that. Trust God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. That's the kind of life I want to live. Where the grace of Jesus is abundantly finding manifest in and through my life. Where every area of my life is being suspended by the power of grace. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been greatly blessed. For further information, you could visit our website at www.thecitygatechurch.org. God bless you.